Time for us to talk some Red Sox baseball. And to do that, we turn to our friend Sean McAdam of Boston Sports Journal. Hi there, Sean.
Rich, how are you? Good to talk to you.
Doing well, thank you. We survived a little storm. How much did you get your way?
Not too bad at all. I'd say we probably got, 5-6 inches tops.
Well, that's good, because they were calling for a lot worse. And now, today it's beautiful. We've got sunshine, and it was up almost to 50 degrees. So spring is here, and we're thinking baseball.
Yeah, it's not, opening day is now 2 weeks from today. So it is indeed very close.
Well, we've learned some things already, as you reported in Boston Sports Journal, starting with the opening day starter, and maybe a bit of a surprise, but it seems like everybody involved, including Chris Sale, is fine seeing veteran Corey Kluber get the start.
Yeah, I think Alex Cora, understanding what Chris Sale has been through the last few years, thought it was best to not have him be the guy who's going to open the 2023 season. I think he would probably be a little over-amped. And the idea was, let him just enjoy all the pageantry and be in uniform and be active and be healthy and let him start game two. Kluber's a guy who has started a handful of opening days already with Cleveland. Certainly has the resume as a 2-time Cy Young Award winner to get that kind of assignment. And, you know, it was a minor thing, but I think it's the kind of thing that Cora does pretty well in terms of understanding how players tick, how they respond to certain things. And he saw this as an opportunity to just slow Sale down a little bit, make sure he was not going 100 miles an hour on day one, let him breathe on opening day and take the ball 2 days later.
Well, Kluber, not the guy he was a few years ago, but he's pitched pretty well this spring. Could he end up being a bargain for the Red Sox this year?
Yeah, I think that's possible. So much of how this team is going to perform, I think, is rooted in those three veteran guys, Sale, Kluber, and Paxton. Of course, Paxton had the setback with the hamstring earlier in camp. He will not be ready for opening day, but the expectation is that he could be back with them by mid-April. But Kluber is a guy that has, you know, made the necessary adjustments. He doesn't throw in the low 90s anymore, but he's probably learned how to be more of a pitcher the last couple of years, both of which, interestingly, were spent in this division, so he knows what it's like to face quality lineups in smaller ballparks and compete. He could definitely be a guy that, for what they paid for him, could deliver, you know, kind of a pretty good return.
Well, with those injuries to the starting rotation, is it going to be Tanner Houck and Cutter Crawford that step in here at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, I think those guys will be at the back end. Not only is Paxton behind the curve a little bit, but so is Garrett Whitlock, although he was able to get a couple of innings in a game situation yesterday. You're also looking at Brian Bayo being a little behind because he had that forearm tightness early in camp. So, yeah, it certainly looks like it's going to be Kluber, Sale, Pivetta, Houck, and Crawford to start the year. But that seems pretty temporary. You might see those back three guys taking 2, maybe 3 starts maximum before Paxton and Whitlock and Bayo get back into the picture. But the fact that the Red Sox have a little more depth, I think, in the rotation is pretty obvious, and it's evident there that they're not afraid to turn to some of those guys, even if it's for only a couple of times through the rotation in April while everyone gets caught up to speed and fully cleared.
You reported to Sean that it looks like, at least to start this season, the Red Sox won't have a regular leadoff guy, but they'll rotate a number of people through that position.
Yeah, Alex Cora talked about that a lot yesterday, said that it was unlikely there would be, you know, an everyday leadoff guy where the lineup is the same at the top day after day. He said any number of four players could take turns at the top. Kike Hernandez, who did it, obviously, and did it well in the second half of 21 and then into that postseason. Christian Arroyo, who's done it occasionally, but not a whole lot over his career. Rob Refsnyder, that will have to presumably be against lefties, because Refsnyder will mostly play against left-handed starters. He did so well with a 1,005 OPS last year against lefties, so he's a guy that could start in center, start in left, start in right. He's a good enough outfielder to play any of those three spots, but will mostly be limited to facing lefties. And in that case, because Cora doesn't want two lefties back-to-back at the top of the order, they would drop Devers. They could have Refsnyder leading off there right-handed and then Devers still stay in the second spot if he wanted to against the lefty. And then the fourth is the intriguing one, and that's the possibility of Tristan Casas getting some time, who hardly looks like your archetypical leadoff hitter at 6'4", 250 pounds, but he's not there to bunt or steal bases the way you might have thought of a leadoff hitter 30 years ago. He does have very good knowledge of the strike zone, good strike zone discipline, and the ability to do some damage in that top spot. And if you go back to 2018, when Cora first took over as manager, he had seen George Springer be the kind of guy who could both get on base in Houston and then do some damage right away. That's what he liked about Betts. It worked fabulously in that regard. I don't think we're going to see Casas, you know, getting 100-something games leading off, but, you know, it could be once in a while on a good pitching matchup. And because he's a guy that does get on base and does work at bats and has the ability to hit for extra base power, it's kind of a different look at the top of that lineup, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Where do you expect we'll see newcomers Yoshida and Duvall hit in the order?
Yeah, I think I think it's reasonable to expect. Let's take a typical day where you might have Hernandez leading off, Devers second. I think they want to keep him there. That has become what used to be the number three spot in the lineup, where you have your best pure hitter now hitting second. Then I think you would want a right-handed hitter hitting third. My guess is that would probably be Justin Turner hitting third in that spot. Then if you want to keep the balance going, seems to me you would have Yoshida left-handed hitting fourth, and then Duvall back to the right-hand side hitting fifth. That's just a guess, but, you know, when you think about some of the other guys, you're talking about Reese McGuire and Arroyo and Verdugo, I think that's probably your bottom three, but I would see that top five or six looking like that and playing out that way.
What role is Bobby Dalbec going to play this season?
I don't think it's going to be on the major league roster to start. It's hard to envision, although they've moved him around and they're getting looks at him at short. It's obvious they want him to be as versatile as possible. You know, he played third in college, shifted over to first when the Red Sox drafted him, so you know you can handle both infield corner spots. But they've had him play some shortstop this year, and, you know, he's probably even bigger or as big as Casas, but he's athletic enough that he could handle it at least in short spurts. But it's hard to imagine that working numbers-wise to start the year. I think in a perfect world, they would have Adalberto Mondesi as their backup middle infielder, with maybe Yu Chang as another option there. But with Mondesi not being cleared physically, I think they have to go with a more pure middle infielder like Chang as the extra guy. And really, you know, with 13-man pitching staff, that leaves you with 13 position players. One of those guys has to be a backup catcher. That would be either Wong or Alfaro, depending on Wong's physical readiness as he deals with a hamstring. You've got to have at least one extra outfielder, but probably two, and Ref Snyder and maybe Tapia as a left-handed outfielder off the bench. So that leaves room for one backup infielder beyond the DH, and I think that has to be Chang as a guy who can play short and second base. You know, you have other options at the corners. You can have Turner play both first and third. You can have Arroyo move around a little bit if he had to. You can obviously move Hernandez out to the outfield if that's necessary. But I think you've got to have an accomplished middle infielder to start the year. So my guess is that's going to be Chang, with Dahlbeck going to Worcester and given an opportunity maybe to get off to a good start and be a guy that might be able to contribute if there's an injury or there's a performance issue up at the big league level.
We're talking with Sean McAdam here on Downtown. How are the bullpen roles sorting themselves out in that space between whenever the starter leaves and Kenley Jansen comes in?
Yeah, well, that's complicated, obviously, Rich, by, you know, some of the injuries to the rotation, however temporary and minor they might be. In a perfect world, you would have started the year with Houck as part of your bullpen makeup. That's not going to happen. Crawford probably would have been ticketed as a possible multi-inning guy. Those guys become even more valuable early in the year when maybe starters aren't completely stretched out. And in case, you know, somebody has a day where it takes 80-something pitches to go through four and a third, you want a guy who can come in and give you multiple innings. So Crawford would have had that role, but now it'll be temporarily in the rotation. So working backward, I think you're looking at Jansen as the closer and Martin and Schreiber as your two primary right-handed setup guys. And then Brazier in that mix probably as kind of a seventh inning guy. And then your two lefties in Blyer and Joely Rodriguez. So now we're up to six relievers where you can get where you're probably going to have eight. I would think Zach Kelly probably factors in there. He pitched pretty well over the final 2 months. And that maybe leaves you with, you know, one spot open where you've got some of the younger guys or non-roster guys competing for that last spot. But again, a lot of that is going to be temporary only until some of the starters come back, and then that domino effect of putting guys like Crawford and Houck back in the bullpen to make room for guys returning to the rotation.
Sean, is there one guy that you think from what you saw when you were with him down in Florida could exceed expectations this year?
Well, you know, if there's one thing I've learned, it's not to put too much stock in spring training performances. I think we all run the risk of that. It's tempting to have your eyes opened by something that happens on March 10th or the first couple of weeks of March and forgetting to take into account that, you know, some of that is coming against guys who are going to be pitching in Double A by the time the season starts, and you have to provide some context. That said, a guy like Tapia, who has some major league experience, has looked really good this spring. The ball's jumping off his bat. I think he's kind of an average outfielder at best, so that detracts a little bit from how they might use him. I wonder, you know, how comfortable they would have him, they would be with him in either center or right. But as a lefty bat off the bench, if he can keep up what he's done in the first few weeks here in Florida, then that might be an interesting option. You kind of know what you have with Ref Snyder as a very solid fourth outfielder, a guy who I noted earlier can crush lefties. But to have a lefty bat that can come in and, you know, give guys a day, Tapia is a kind of an interesting guy. And then, you know, the backup catcher spot is kind of interesting to watch. Do you go with a guy like Alfaro, who has more pop in his bat, but and can throw pretty well, but has had some issues in terms of receiving? Or do you, if he's healthy, do you go with Wong and finally get a sense of whether this guy can be a regular big league contributor, even if it's only as a backup guy? So I would say those two, even though they're not everyday players, you kind of, you know, there's not a lot of unknown here. People know what Arroyo's all about if he's healthy, what Hernandez can do, Devers. I guess the biggest unknown in terms of what we've seen against major league competition is what Yoshida can do. But boy, between what he was doing in the Grapefruit League and what he's been able to do in the World Baseball Classic, you know, I think expectations are built up a little bit more for him. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see how he makes that transition.
Can't wait for it all to get started in a couple of weeks. Sean McAdam, Boston Sports Journal. Appreciate it as always, Sean. And we'll talk to you when they're out there playing for real in a couple of weeks.
All right. Sounds good, Rich. Thanks.
You're welcome. Sean McAdam with us on Downtown.